What's up, my fellow paranormal punks? On today's episode, we talk about a mischievous goblin who emerges around Christmas time. Some UFO news, Edgegrave Dave reviews Halloween Ends, Chris Whitehouse talks about demons, and much more. So let's skedaddle.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? How's it going? Ghost Joe here, Season 2, Episode 26 of the Warped Reality Podcast. So we are now in full swing of the holiday season. I got finished putting up all the Christmas lights a few days ago. I still want more, though. I really want to embrace my Clark Griswold of Christmas lights, but I'm not very good at it. So, and plus, where I live in upstate New York, it's in a valley. So the wind is like a freaking wind tunnel. And the moment that wind blows, everything gets taken down. And it's very discouraging. But I'll tell you what's not discouraging. This is going to sound like a complete commercial, but I don't care. If you need a gift idea for somebody this holiday season, I definitely would suggest our good buddy Chris Whitehouse's book, Into the Darkness, Becoming a Ghost Hunter. I just received my copy. I can't wait to read it. And I don't even know if I would want to do a review on it because I'm going to be biased. I love the guy. I love what he's doing for the community. His YouTube channel is great. Listen, check out all the show notes for all of the links because all of his content is amazing. The stuff he does for me, all the great advice and stuff he's given me in the past, as well as all my other podcast friends, has been awesome. So, so please go out, buy that book, Into the Darkness, Becoming a Ghost Hunter. It's on Amazon. You can get it in Kindle format or you get it in paperback for only $6.99. So come on, that's a great Christmas gift or holiday gift. And yeah, so please do that. All right, so let's begin with some out-of-this-world news. So this year, on November 5th, 6th, and 7th, MUFON held their 5th annual Field Investigator Boot Camp in Mesa, Arizona. For those of you that don't know, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, is the largest volunteer UFO group dedicated to researching and investigating UFO claims from around the country. Side note, on the next episode, or the Christmas episode, I will be interviewing MUFON member John Wright. He's a great guy with very realistic views on all things paranormal, and you're going to love that interview. Anyway, the boot camp included 28 people from all over the U.S. and Canada learning the tricks of the trade to becoming a certified UFO field investigator. The weekend started with a meet and greet dinner on Friday evening. The next day included 4 hours of classroom work, a lecture on interviewing techniques from active police officers who are also MUFON members. Also learned that day was forensic fieldwork, healthy versus unhealthy mental states, and an astronomy lesson. They then headed to the Sonoran Desert to learn more space stuff and have a desert barbecue. The next day consisted of more classroom work. This really sounds like a lot of work. I mean, they really put in their work to really get this certification. So that's awesome. So they did some more classroom work, learning more research and investigation skills. Then in the afternoon, they headed to the desert again, where they were broken up into groups and performed a practical exam, applying everything they had learned. So Sunday evening wrapped up with yet another poolside barbecue where the participants received their certificates of completion and exchanged info with each other. All right, so now let's talk some spooky stuff. About a month ago, I had done a little spot or an interview on the Paranoid Radio podcast with Trebles Garcia and Big Tank. Awesome, awesome podcast. Please go check them out. And I also do a monthly segment for them as well, also called the Warped Reality segment. So please definitely check it out. They're awesome. It's a conspiracy theory podcast. Great, great guys. Great content. You'll love it. So anyway, I had done the segment on the ghosts of the White House, and I'd like to talk to you guys about it right now. So the White House, as we know, has a very rich history. It was built on October 13th, 1792, at, of course, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. So the guy who sold most of the land in Washington, D.C., David Burns, is said to haunt the White House. One of FDR's valets had said to have heard a ghostly voice at a distance from the yellow oval room saying, "I'm Mr. Burns." Sounds like a Simpsons segment, right? During President Harry Truman's administration, a guard had claimed to have heard a similar sounding voice saying the same thing, though. The Lincoln family had their fair share of ghostly encounters as well. Mary Todd Lincoln was heavily into the occult and would regularly hold seances in the White House to try to communicate with her 11-year-old son, who had sadly passed away due to typhoid fever. She has said to have heard the spirit of Andrew Jackson stomping in the hallway and yelling obscenities. President Harry Truman had heard Jackson as well, also hearing knocks on doors and seeing curtains move on their own. He had wrote to his wife and daughter saying, "You better come home soon before the ghosts take me away." First Lady Abigail Adams is said to have been in period clothing while drying sheets in the East Room as well. But the most popular and most witnessed specter is President Abe Lincoln. He is known to show up when the country is in turmoil. He's seen walking down the second floor hallway. He is also known to knock on doors and seen from the window of his former office. He's been seen by Eleanor Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and even Ronald Reagan's dog. There have been numerous other spirits known to lurk around, but none as prominent as Honest Abe. Lincoln had actually seen his doppelganger on the night of his first election also. He sat on the couch to rest. Looking in the adjacent mirror, he saw himself and another face of his. Only the second face looked sickly and pale. When he stood, the ghostly twin disappeared. When he told his wife about it, she freaked out and said that it was a bad omen, fearing that he would not finish out his term as president. And unfortunately, we know how that went down. All right, so right now we're going to check in with good old Edgegrave Dave on his horrible review of Halloween Ends. Oh, by the way, I still haven't seen this movie yet, so this is going to be a huge spoiler alert listening to this for me, but that's all right. I mean, there's tons of horror movies I've never seen. Do you know I've never seen Hellraiser? I am a terrible horror fan, I'll tell you. But anyway, here you go. Here's some Edgegrave Dave with horrible reviews.
Horrible Reviews with Edgegrave Dave. Hey, what's up, fellow grave diggers? This is Edgegrave Dave here with another horrible review. What I am about to tell you, I will absolutely issue a grave warning, an urgent grave warning, as it concerns the movie, which at the time of this recording, I have just finished, Halloween Ends. As Ghost Joe has mentioned in previous episodes, Halloween Ends is one of the biggest movies of the horror genre, of the year, of the legacy of such an important franchise to horror. It's given birth to the slasher genre in general, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think that we would have Jason, Freddy, other slashers, other films, possibly like Scream, movies that, I mean, there's just so many that you can think of where if Halloween didn't exist, if Michael Myers didn't exist, you would not have been able to bear witness to these movies. It has been so heavily advertised. Jamie Lee Curtis has been everywhere on every form of media heavily advertising this movie as the final showdown, the final movie with Laurie Strode versus Michael Myers. Now, the movie does do just that. It does promise that you see that. But again, with a very grave warning, this movie is something completely different. There is another character, a protege, if you will, of Michael Myers. Somebody that takes an awful lot of screen time actually focused in the movie, other than Michael Myers. Michael Myers is in this movie, absolutely. This is a Halloween movie, but what you get is something so very different than what was advertised. Something so very different from what I think we were all expecting. Now, being different and change isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, look at Halloween 3. That had nothing to even do with the story of Michael Myers. It was something on its own. The timelines in this movie, there's so many different ways to watch this franchise, starting from the very first movie, including the Rob Zombie remakes, the different timelines. There's even, as another episode that may have come out before this one, or maybe afterwards, I have mentioned, there are different timelines. You actually can use an encyclopedia map that takes you from the H20 timeline, the H40 timeline. You can skip certain movies. You could go right to the original theatrical release. But this movie is part of its own trilogy. Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills from last year, 2021, and now we have Halloween Ends. So this movie is really about somebody that in many ways emulates Michael Myers and is also some other kind of psychopath. Something else to fear, which does bring interesting kills, because there is another person other than Michael Myers that brings somewhat of an original element, something that really could be its own movie, but just not something that I'm very conflicted with. Not something that I think that the audience was expecting and really wanted to see. When Michael Myers is in the movie, you'll be very happy that he's there. I think that you'll actually be satisfied with the ending. That's one thing that I do want to make very clear. Halloween Ends really is the end. And the way that it's done is satisfying. It's just the meat and potatoes of this movie. It's just something that I really question why they went in the direction that they did. It's something different. It's something that you just won't expect. So take the movie with a grain of salt. For the purists out there, you can almost write this off as a what-if kind of a movie. That's, to be quite frankly honest with you, how I view this latest trilogy from 2018 to 2022. It's like a what-if. I truly love the theatrical release from Halloween 1978, Halloween 2, and then when it jumps to 20 years later, Halloween H20, I thought that was an excellent ending. Of course, there's Halloween Resurrection, which came out after that in 2002, which did something very different. This movie probably could have ended with Halloween 2018. The way that Michael burned in Laurie Strode's house, how she made whole track, but it didn't, as you've seen in Halloween Kills. It's like a super evil charge killing spree rampage Michael Myers, and that's something that I thought would have been expanded upon. There's a pretty big time jump here, and that's interesting too. So take your own opinions, go and see this movie. If you do anything, absolutely see it. Your opinion is what I think matters the most. And use your own. I would say for this movie, absolutely. Don't ask anybody, should I see it? Should I, you know, read the reviews? How many stars did it get? I'm not going to even give any grades on this one. So go out, go see it. Some of you might hate it. Some of you might praise it for going in the direction that it did. But I am between, maybe this movie didn't have to happen, 85% of it, but the ending I think is very satisfying. So for that, I mean, I'll watch any Halloween movie that comes out, any day, any time, any grave. So enjoy. Back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for the review. And also, just to let you guys know, next week on November 17th, I will be releasing a shorter show. It's a little bonus show in between the weeks of Edgegrave Dave's review on the Monster Mania convention that he had went to, where he had met all people from all different horror people, from Nightmare on Elm Street series to the Terrifier series and much, much more stuff. So he's going to give you his review on that next week. So please check that out. It's his own bonus episode. Okay, so right now we're going to take a trip. We're going to take a trip to the Cryptid Zoo. And right now we're going to talk about the Kalinkunzari. The Kalinkunzari are goblins based in Southeast European folklore who they spend the majority of the year underground, and they emerge between December 25th and January 6th, which is the winter solstice, to cause mischief and evil. They are mostly male with black fur, horns, tusks, animals-like limbs, and very large third legs. So they range in size from gigantic to very small. They are also mostly blind, speak with a lisp, and love to eat frogs, worms, and other small creatures. According to the legend, any child born during the 12 days of Christmas was in danger of transforming into a Kalinkunzari during each Christmas season, starting with adulthood. It was believed that the antidote to prevent this transformation was to bind the baby in tresses of garlic or straw, or to singe the child's toenails. I don't know. According to another legend, anyone born on a Saturday could see and talk with the Kalinkunzari. These goblins sneak into houses at night any way they could. If you want to prevent them from doing so, you can keep the fire burning all night in your fireplace, or burn a shoe, which repels them, and probably any possible guests that you'd like to have over your house as well, due to the horrible smell. Throughout the rest of the year, they live in the center of the earth and utilize their time by chopping down the world tree, also known as the Tree of Life. They are said to be kind of unintelligent and refuse to count past two because three is a holy number, the number of the Trinity, and they'd rather kill themselves than to pronounce that number. So once their reign of mischief is over, they return back to the center of the earth to find that the Tree of Life that they had worked so hard all year to cut down has grown back again, and they must start cutting it down all over again. I have not been able to find any encounters of people that have seen the Kalinkunzari, so at this point, it's just folklore. But if you have seen them or any other cryptid, I'd love to hear about it. Please call me at 845-600-0744, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. Listen, guys, you could also do this anonymously, too. Please, please, I'd love to hear your experiences. Ghosts, cryptid, alien, anything weird, time lapses, time jumps, anything that you got, please get in touch with me. So have you guys ever heard of the CE5 protocol? Until just recently, I hadn't either. The CE5 protocol stands for Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It's a protocol which was developed by Dr. Stephen Greer, a retired physician turned ufologist, who claims to have developed this technique with an extraterrestrial whom he had met as a child. Greer, a transcendental meditation teacher, also founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Disclosure Project. In a nutshell, while using meditation, playing tones, and concentration, you can summon a UFO to your location. Now, one person can do this, but of course, the connection is much stronger with a group of people. There's videos all over TikTok and YouTube of people doing this with some really surprising results. Greer claims that the visitors that show up are peaceful and that once they sense fear, they leave. There are groups all over the world that practice this CE5 protocol. You can buy the app for your smartphone, which not only helps with the process, but can also connect you with others in your area looking to do this also. I'm really curious if this works. Have any of you practiced the CE5 protocol? Please let me know. I said the number, I said my email. Please let me know if you've done this. If you want to learn more, there's actually a book called A CE5 Handbook, an easy-to-use guide to help you contact extraterrestrial life, authored by Celia Hatch and Mark Kaprowski. You know, I keep thinking of that scene in Independence Day, though, where all of those people are on the roof, the building, and trying to welcome the aliens, and they get blown to smithereens. You know, I did get the app. I'm a little bit weary about doing it. Plus, I don't have a lot of time, and I'm not a very good meditator. So, but if any of you would like to try it and let me know if it works, hey, please do that. I'd love to hear the results. So right now we're going to check in with my friend and yours, Mr. Chris Whitehouse of the White House Investigation Team, also by his book, Into the Darkness, Becoming Ghost Hunter. It's awesome. He's going to talk to us a little bit about my favorite subject, demons. Let's go.
Hello, everyone. This week, I want to talk about demons. Now, obviously, there's a biblical connection here, but I'm not really sure if that's what I'm talking about. Obviously, using a Ouija board and ghost hunting, the main worry is if, in inverted commas, demons are going to come and mess about with you. And I would have said no for many years. Yes, we always get demon something this and that come through because that's designed to scare us. And then once you get past that, they settle down and say they're not a demon. However, a most recent investigation has made me question whether demons exist much more realistically. There was a night where only two of the team were available. And so myself and teammate Lucy, we decided to prove in our heads that summoning a demon was nonsense. What are all the things we can try, like Bloody Mary, Charlie, you know, looking in two mirrors, multiple Ouija boards open, drawing a pentagram on the floor and putting candles on the ends. All these things we'd heard about, we'd do them all in one night and just see if there's any difference. And we were laughing it off and had a good night, to be honest. But after that investigation, Lucy in particular, her health took a plummet for a while. She had bad luck spread through her family and friends. And we even went somewhere on an investigation and a spirit said, she's got a black mass attached to her. I don't want her in my location. So we pricked up our ears over that and thought, well, that is interesting, but do we really buy it? And as investigations came and went, the word demon and the suggestion that we had conjured two things up on that night seemed to play out over and over, coming back up on every board we did. Until we returned to a location in York most recently, and again, it was verified, seemingly by spirits we spoke to on the board, that we had summoned, if you will, two demons, whatever demons actually are, you know, whether that just means malevolent spirits or something that feed off your energies or make you poorly. But yeah, we had to have two spirits we're now friends with fight these demons off while we stayed strong and protected ourselves. And ever since that night, my friend Lucy felt so much better, and we got a real telling off from the spirits who helped us via the Ouija board after these things were taken off us, saying, symbols have power and never ever mess about again with that kind of thing. So obviously it's all pie in the sky, did it ever really happen? But going by what was said to us via the Ouija board and what the spirits seemingly have told us, that we did succeed in summoning two things, one called Ashmael, I think it was, and one called Samael or something like that. And when we researched them, it all checked out. But again, I'm still processing exactly what this all means. But demons, perhaps, if you intend, and I've talked about intention before, if you intend to summon them, perhaps you do tap into something troublesome, shall we say. And perhaps we did do that, and also had help getting rid of them. So there's a valuable lesson there, I think. Symbols have power. You know, if you're drawing pentagrams with the intent of messing about, as I've spoken about before, and summoning bad things, then bad things could very well come. So be careful with that sort of thing. And hopefully we can learn more from this point about what a demon exactly is without having to summon one. Okay, thanks. Back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Chris, as always. Awesome, awesome segment. Again, guys, please check out the White House Investigation YouTube channel. They have some amazing content on there, as well as their other social media applications as well. But right now, we're going to go on with some haunted eBay. So the first item we're going to talk about is Cursed Wedding Ring from 1974. It's the starting bid is $19. The shipping is $4.90, and it's coming from Alexandria, Virginia. So here's the description. I had a roommate a little while ago who was a Satanist. This was her father's wedding ring, purchased and engraved by her mother. She told me she used it in a black magic ritual to pray to Satan that her parents may be killed in order for her to obtain things she wanted. That's messed up, man. Sure enough, within a few years, both of her parents died from horrible diseases, and she got her wish granted. She sadly committed suicide this past year, so I am unable to return it to her. I was hesitant to throw out the ring because it is a momentum of two innocent people who lost their lives. However, I do believe the presence of this ring in my home is a possible root cause of many terrible things happening in my life, including several near-death experiences since it's been here, and the untimely, preventable death of my best friend of 10 years that happened in August. It is an experience, if an experienced witch or priest could take in this ring and use it in a prayer to help the parents, Mike and Tammy, so their souls may be free of Satan's imprisonment, that would be ideal. I can offer more information on the parents to the next owner, should they request. That is one crazy story, man. That's terrible, too. And do you think that it's a coincidence that she committed suicide? Listen, when you dabble with stuff like that, and you basically offer yourself or offer your soul like that, yeah, you might be good on this plane, but on the next one you might get a little hot. Let's just say that much. So the next item is titled Highly Active Possessed Pig Doll Harrietta, and the starting bid, of course, is $6.66, but the price is $66.60 if you'd like to buy it. And the shipping is $11, coming from Cadillac, Michigan. So here is the description. So Harrietta was found just outside the property line of what was Robert Picton's pig farm. Robert, a now convicted serial killer, converted a building on the farm into a party place where he would host wild, illegal parties for himself and all his friends. He appropriately named the nearby building the Piggy Palace. There, he would drug and kidnap vulnerable and unsuspecting partygoers, torture them for days, sometimes even weeks, until eventually strangling them to death with his cold, bare hands. He then disposed of their corpses to his prized hogs, which devoured all the evidence, the same hogs he butchered and sold to local markets. I was drawn to explore the area due to its history, and finding this doll there was nothing short of ironic. I was elated to bring this home as a souvenir of my adventures, but my elation wouldn't last long. I found myself becoming short of breath when I was in my office where I keep Harrietta. I would walk into the room and instantly it would start. The odor of hard alcohol filled my office, although I do not drink during the work hours. The mixture of the alcohol aroma and not being able to breathe really started to fog my mind. My work suffered so badly, my boss had conference call with me about my poor performance. After a few days of dealing with this, I became so frustrated that I broke down into a fit of tears and hung my head in sorrow, eventually pulling myself back together. But with tears still in my eyes, I lifted my head and there was Harrietta sitting right in front of me. It scared me so badly, I smacked her off my desk and sent her flying into the houseplant, which then promptly exploded, leaving a mess of soil everywhere. Frustrated in anger, I took the doll outside and threw her away right in my trash can. I didn't even bother to check if I could recycle her. I then returned to my office to finish up my TPS reports. TPS reports? Okay. After a few minutes, I noticed that I was not having any trouble breathing. Relieved, I then noticed my cognitive ability improving. I finished work early and decided to settle down with a nice bottle of wine. I thought you didn't drink, buddy. Drinking wine all night and eating popcorn with my cat, I drifted off to sleep in a drunken haze. It was then that Harrietta first came to me in my dreams. Although feisty, she was able to communicate with me and told me her story. Harrietta said she was a 23 years old erotic dancer who was invited to one of Robert Picton's parties to perform. That's a tongue twister. Unfortunately, that night she was abducted by Robert and later ruthlessly murdered by him after enduring 2 weeks of torture. She suffers badly from alcoholism, and I have noticed I am only able to communicate directly with her after passing out in a drunken stupor. She is very hostile towards me, wants to harm me constantly. She seems to be stuck in a state of detoxing from alcohol, which leaves her irritable and unpleasant. She says without stealing the breath of nearby souls, she will begin to once again feel as if she is being strangled and is forced to relieve her traumatic demise. Her soul was somehow merged into this doll, which she tells me Robert gave to her as her only possession during those 2 weeks she was held captive on the farm, locked away in a dark and cold shipping container. I tried to throw her away, but she somehow turns up back in my office. I can no longer endure the constant shortness of breath, and I am afraid if I keep her any longer, I will lose my job. I am hoping someone with more knowledge can help me free her soul from this doll, or at the very least, tame her powers. I decided to make this ad and set the price to aid in finding only someone with an interest in the paranormal and who will be able to handle this tortured soul. Serious inquiries only. Huh. Well, just so you guys know, by the way, I do not hold any responsibility if you're going to bid on any of these items. I can't tell you if they're haunted or not. This is strictly, of course, for entertainment. So I'm not going to tell you that you're going to have paranormal experience or that you're not going to have paranormal experience. So, you know, buyer beware. All right, everybody. So that's going to do it for me, Ghost Joe, on episode 26 of the Warp Reality Podcast. On the next episode of the Warp Reality Podcast, it's the Christmas episode. We talk to paranormal investigator, MUFON member, history teacher, tour guide of the Pine Bush UFO and Paranormal Museum, and he also fixes and makes his own furniture, Mr. John Wright. John is a wealth of knowledge and has some great insight on all things paranormal. That and much, much more, releasing on December 24th. So when you have your guests over and you're burning some shoes to get rid of those pesky critters, throw on the show. Also, don't forget to check out the Paranoia Radio Podcast, which is the conspiracy podcast I was mentioning before, because yours truly does have a monthly segment and because it's an awesome show. So until next time, Power Pals, later.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast. And thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out WarpRealityPodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.